Well, morning, everybody. It's wonderful to see you this January morning. I've just got a few things to do here. It's a wonderful set. Wish I was coming next week to the kids club. So the title of the sermon is Breath of God. Let us pray. Lord and Heavenly Father, we ask you for the Holy Spirit to come and dwell in this place. Lord, we ask you to breathe on us, open our ears to hear, eyes to see, and hearts to love you. Lord, we ask you to fill us with a fresh anointing to serve you. Amen. Now, if I get this right. Since the dawn of time, God's breath, his spirit, hovered over the waters. With three but small, powerful words, our majestic God, creator, spoke the world into existence. With one breath, God said, "Let there be light," and there was. Testifying to the character and nature of God, God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the dark. In these passages of scripture from Genesis 1:3-4, the Hebrew word Elohim is used for God to represent his holy, majestic name and the nature of God in terms of his strength, power, and unity. The Hebrew word Ruach is used for spirit in Genesis 1:2 and can be interpreted as God's breath, wind, or spirit. Ruach, as God's breath, gives us the gift of not only life but eternal life and fills us with God's supernatural power and divine purpose to serve him. God's inspired word, the Bible, is essentially our training manual on how to seek, serve, and follow Christ. As the Bible tells us in 2 Timothy 3:16, that all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. And the reason is given in verse 17, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. The inspiration for this sermon came when I found myself humming a song. It's Breathe On Me, Breath of God, which is an old hymn from the 1878 written by Edwin Hatch. I won't sing it, you'll be happy to know, but I'll read you the lyrics because I found them quite encouraging and I hope you do too. Breathe on me, breath of God. Fill me with life anew, that I may love the way you love and do what you do. Breathe on me, breath of God, until my heart is pure, until my will is one with yours, to do and to endure. Breathe on me, breath of God, till I am wholly yours, till all this earthly part of me glows with your fire divine. Breathe on me, breath of God. So shall I never die, but live with you the perfect life for all eternity. The words, pure of heart, one with God, glowing with divine fire for eternity, simply resonated with me. They speak of a passion and a love for Jesus that I hope to attain. I then wondered, where else is the breath of God used in scripture, and what does God do with his breath? Throughout the Bible, the phrase breath of God is used in 28 verses to describe the actions of God and what he does with that breath. In summary, our God's breath is used to both create and take life. This is echoed not only in Genesis, but the Psalms, Job, Isaiah, Ezekiel, and 2 Samuel. God's breath both judges and redeems. In both the Old and the New Testament, God's word judges the sinner that rejects him and blesses the righteous for their obedience. We are redeemed when we seek God's forgiveness, repent and turn from our sin and worldly ways to seek him. God's breath both transforms and reforms. Transformation occurs with a renewing of the mind. All doubt disappears as the faith-filled believer emerges, a faith that earnestly seeks and attains restoration into a right relationship, abiding in him with authority over the earth. Lastly, God's breath calls and anoints to equip and empower believers as his chosen people to serve as his willing disciples, to complete God's mission of the Great Commission, to go into all the world and make disciples. What a wonderful, almighty God we serve, that he uses his breath to create and take, judge and redeem, transform and restore, call and to anoint. I'd now like to take a closer look at five passages of scripture from Genesis, Job, Ezekiel, John, and Acts to emphasise this theme. Starting with Genesis 2:7, which says, "Then the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being." Our sovereign Lord originally breathed life into dust and created humanity in his image to be in relationship with him, to flourish in the Garden of Eden, to walk with God in the cool of the morning. How special that would have been. Adam and the whole of humanity shares God's breath of life within us to bring our souls alive. Lord, we pray, breathe on us, breath of God. Fill us with life anew, that we may love the way you love and do what you would do. Amen. The book of Job is worth a special mention. Job, in his suffering, has four key verses about God's breath. The first relates to death in Job 4:9, which says, "At the breath of God they perish. At the blast of his anger they are no more." God's breath also brings fair skies in Job 26:13 and gives us understanding in Job 32:8. Job then acknowledges God's breath in Job 33:4 as giving him life by proclaiming, "The Spirit of God has made me. The breath of the Almighty gives me life." Job, amidst his trials and tribulations, understood who God is and what his breath does. Lord, we pray, breathe on us, breath of God, until our hearts are pure, until our will is one with yours, and to do and to endure. The echoes of life are also heard in the well-known passage of Ezekiel 37, the Valley of the Dry Bones. While exiled in Babylon, God shows the prophet Ezekiel a vision of the Israelites' exposed bones scattered in a valley. The corpses had been denied a proper burial and were left disgraced in the open for scavengers to devour. Not a pretty sight. God asks Ezekiel, "Can these dry bones live?" Only God knows the answer, and he tells Ezekiel to prophesy to the dry bones. This is because we know that the word of the Lord is God-breathed. In verses 4 to 6, Ezekiel prophesies, dry bones. Hear the word of the Lord. This is what the Sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you, and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. When Ezekiel prophesied, the bodies came together, but no breath were in them. There was no life. In verses 9 to 10, God said to Ezekiel, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the Sovereign Lord says. Come, breath, from the four winds and breathe into these slain that they may live. So Ezekiel prophesied as God commanded him. And the breath entered them, and they came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army. The bodies with God's breath, with God's spirit, now had life. Some of you might be feeling spiritually dry at the moment, or be going through a rough patch, feeling a bit like the Israelites, wondering where God is with all hope gone. To these people, I prophesy a fresh breath of God to bring revival and renewal into your life, to this church and the community, that there be a vast evangelical army raised to usher in the kingdom of God. Lord, we pray, breathe on us, breath of God, till we are wholly yours, till all this earthly part of us glows with your divine fire. The next passage of scripture is John 20, 19 to 23. After his resurrection, Jesus appears to the disciples in the upper room. The Bible says that the doors were locked, as the disciples were afraid of the Jewish leaders. Jesus miraculously appears amongst them and said, "Peace be with you." Jesus showed them his pierced hands and the side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Jesus then breathes on his disciples and commissions them for mission. The Bible says in verses 21 to 23, again Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Jesus identified that unforgiveness was the biggest block to not receiving the commission of the Holy Spirit for mission. I'm wondering if we can pause for a moment, and if the Lord reveals to you the name of anyone that you need to forgive, please pray silently to forgive them now. Lord God, we pray to forgive those that have harmed us. Lord, we also ask for your forgiveness and repent for unfairly judging people or speaking critically or gossiping. Lord, help this church to discern and understand your will and vision for growth in moving forward this year. In Jesus' name, amen. This brings us to Acts. Before the disciples could embark on their mission, they had to wait for the Holy Spirit. At Pentecost, Acts 2:2 tells us that the Holy Spirit came suddenly with a sound like the blowing of a violent wind coming from heaven that filled the whole house where the disciples were sitting. God's breath was rushing wind, and it brought Christ's resurrection power in tongues of fire, imparted gifts of the Spirit as they rested on the disciples. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them to proclaim the gospel to all the earth. Pentecost filled the prophecy of Joel 2:28-32, that the Spirit would be poured out on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy, your young men will see visions, your old men will dream dreams. There will be signs and wonders in the heavens and the earth before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So perhaps you can see the similarities between Ezekiel 37 with John 20 and Acts 2. The resurrection body is seen in both Ezekiel's first prophecy, rebuilding the Israelites' body sinew by sinew, and Jesus appearing and breathing on the disciples in John 20. The action and motion of God's breath, spirit, and wind is seen through his resurrection power by breathing life into the Israelite army in Ezekiel, and again when ushering in the wind of Pentecost in Acts, distributing spiritual gifts and eternal life. In the same way, Jesus wants to breathe his life-giving resurrection spirit into each of us. He is seeking a heart, mind, and spirit response from us. So this one's for the history buffs. John Bunyan, author of Pilgrim's Progress, was also a man of mission. Bunyan once said, "You have not lived today until you have done something for someone who can never repay you." This is not just a statement of kindness towards others, but a statement about passing on invaluable good news of the gospel. In the 17th century, Baptists believed in the importance of mission and conversion rather than simply being born into a church. Over time, Baptists, like others, grew more comfortable as they no longer suffered persecution for their faith, and their passion for mission also waned. Except I note in this church you've got some very good mission people. When God's breath encounters a roadblock, it tries to uproot it, move it out of the way, or simply rolls over it or around it like a speed bump to show us the way. Ruach denotes our God in action. We serve a God in motion, and we need to be moving in him for him to, we may need to be moving with him and in him to follow and serve him daily. Some of us have additional obstacles that block or hinder us from receiving the fullness of the Holy Spirit and all that God promises. Some of these blockages may include doubt, fear, unforgiveness, lies of the enemy telling you that you're not good enough. So we humbly ask Jesus to breathe on us, to remove any blockages, and to allow his Holy Spirit to enter and fill us anew each day. We ask the breath of Jesus to wake up the human spirit, to confess our sin, to restore our spiritual sight, to illuminate scripture to us, and to reveal truth so that we can see and understand who Jesus really is. Jesus is our Lord and Saviour. Jesus died to save us from our sins. Jesus was resurrected from death on the third day. Jesus is now seated at the right hand of the Father in heaven so that believers can spend eternity with him. Jesus, our Redeemer, lives within the hearts and minds and spirits of believers. Our soul is filled with Jesus' life-giving spirit. It is up to every one to determine how they respond to God breathing in, on, and through their life. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Saviour and you would like to invite him into your heart, please come forward to see the pastors or myself after the service and we'll pray for you. Some of you may be thinking that this is a season where I'm waiting upon the Lord for direction and I simply don't know where to start. Could I suggest by simply start talking to the people that you meet every day about Jesus, to testify to the goodness of what Jesus has done in your life? And once you are moving with God, he can then move and shape you toward the right direction and open the doors to the purposes and plans he has for you. Recently, I was listening to Hope 103.2 and I was driving somewhere, and the broadcast described that waiting on God was like waiting to spring an ambush. This is because you obediently and patiently wait with an expectant heart in places where God is most likely to be, where he is most likely to show up. Places like church, small groups, rather than playing computer games or watching TV. Basically, to continue to do the things that God would do, and he will reveal his spirit and truth to you. I'd like to share with you a hypothetical story with random names, I assure you. So sorry if anyone's called these names. Jack had recently renewed his first aid qualifications and was on the WHS and Safe Spaces church team. It was like any other Sunday morning tea at church. Jack was casually enjoying a cup of green tea, engaging in delightful conversations with his friends. Suddenly, he saw a 15-year-old Leon collapse to the floor and his mother motioning for someone to call an ambulance. Leon was not breathing. His lips were turning blue. Leon had been eating wontons a bit too quickly. Don't have anything against wontons. They're lovely, but we just eat slowly and digest. So he was eating too quickly, and he could join his friends, and he choked. These usually humble, benign-tasting wonton treats, consumed unnaturally fast, had overwhelmed the esophagus and caused a potentially fatal blockage. While others pray, Jack jumped immediately to rendered first aid and put Leon into the recovery position to clear the blockage from his throat. Still no pulse. Jack then commenced CPR and breathed life into Leon. Thankfully, Leon recovered quickly by the time the ambulance came. Jack was trained. He was serving in the right place at the right time to respond when called upon, much like Jess today with a Bible reading. God used Jack to breathe life into Leon. The blockage had to be removed for Leon's heart, mind, and soul to respond. But just like Jack, we also need to be trained in God's word by sharing God's gift of eternal life through spiritual CPR. And I've termed this Christ-pursued restoration. God uses believers as his willing vessels to speak life into the lives of people around us in the local community, to facilitate restoration of the lost into relationship with God. And many of you are already sharing your testimony and the gospel with others, and I encourage you to continue. This year we continue to read and study the Bible. There are opportunities to build on these foundations and become trained in God's word, to become equipped and empowered to share the good news of the gospel and God's gift of eternal life to those that believe in him. For some of you, 2025 may be the year to undertake Bible training so that you can be ready to give spiritual CPR, Christ-pursued restoration, leading to God's gift of salvation and eternal life for others. If you feel that God has placed a call on your heart for local mission, then please come and see me or the pastors after the service and we'll be happy to pray for you. Ruach is God's breath, spirit, and wind that he uses to create and take, judge and redeem, transform and restore, call and anoint. to then equip and empower his chosen for mission. Lord, we pray, breathe on us, breath of God, so we shall never die, but live with you the perfect life for all eternity. Amen.